so appreciate y'all doing that support every week. Y'all do a great job. We're blessed to have y'all. At this time, we'll dismiss the kids to Children's Church. See y'all. Go back there and have fun, and we'll see y'all in just a little while. Everybody else, if you will, open up with me to Genesis chapter 12.
Genesis.
Genesis chapter 12. So we are continuing.
Hurry, Sophia, hurry.
Inside. I pray if we see boats running to the altar that fast. It's okay. We are continuing in our series on the book of Genesis called In the Beginning. And we covered some pretty important stuff here. It's so crucial for us to get the beginning right because it sets the foundation for everything that comes after it. So we looked at creation. We looked at the fall. We looked at the flood. We looked at the Tower of Babel. And now, today we're going to look at the Abrahamic covenant. And we're going to look at how this was God's calling on Abraham's life to trust him and to follow him. And as we look at the Abrahamic covenant, we're going to apply that in our own lives as well. So I want you to think as we kind of go through the introduction here and get ready to turn our attention to the Word. I want you to think about the most important calls that you've ever received in your lifetime, right? Some calls we receive thrill us. Some calls we receive scare us to death, right? There's all kinds of different calls that we receive in life. So maybe if I say a call that thrilled you, that the first thing you think of, it takes you back to those first phone calls between you and your honey when you first started dating, right? And you had all those sweet little nicknames like Honey Pie and Sugar Blossom and all these things you called each other, right? Y'all, Sweet Thing and Darling, I don't know where Sugar Blossom came from. I don't know. Said that, I don't think it just came out. But I do call her Sweet Thing and Darling and stuff like that. You know, back when you're young and in love, you could just sit on the phone for hours and hours, never get bored. And now it's like, hey, what do you want? Sometimes I say things I have no idea what I say. Maybe when I say calls that thrill you, maybe you're a grandparent, so you think about that phone call that you received letting you know that you're going to be a grandma or a grandpa for the first time. It's pretty special, right? It's pretty thrilling. Maybe you think about you've interviewed for a big job or a big promotion, and you get that call letting you know that you got it. Yeah. Right? That's a big deal. It's thrilling. That's a call that you remember, right? Of course, for me as a pastor, I can't help but think of getting a call from Keegan saying, hey, you sent us a resume, you still interested? And I got to come down here and preach. See, when pastors come to a prospective church to preach, it's called preaching in view of a call, right? And for those of you that were here, I didn't do too good in my first sermon that I preached. But y'all are a loving congregation. Y'all gave me another chance. Y'all saw something that I didn't even see in myself, extended the call, voted me in, and that has been one of the biggest thrills of my life. And I still get excited every single day that I get to come to this church. So thankful, so proud to be able to be your pastor, to do life with you, from my family to be a part of this family. Honestly, it is still just as big of a thrill today as it was when y'all first extended the call. So that's one of the things that comes to mind for me when I think of a thrilling call, right? We can all agree there are calls in life that are special to us, right? But there's other calls too, right? There's some calls we can't wait to answer, and then there's some calls that we just go ahead and send on over to voicemail, right? Don't feel like dealing with that right now. Right, we may be completely nothing to do, see the phone call, nope, not having that conversation. We send it on over to voicemail, right? I saw a funny post on Facebook. It said, it was just a picture, and it said, "Gotta love the irony of a generation raised making prank phone calls, only to be terrorized by daily robocalls today." It's so true. You know, whether it's around election time, we get all these "vote for me" phone calls, you know, or the my favorite is probably "respond now or your social security number will be permanently suspended." Has anybody ever got one of those phone calls? There's all kinds of things. Yeah, Kristen got one this week too. But honestly, I guess I deserve calls like that for all the times as a kid that I called random numbers and asked them if their refrigerator was running. Told them they better go catch it. I mean, I deserve the robocalls. I don't know if y'all deserve it, but I deserve it. So there are good calls, there are annoying calls, and unfortunately, in life, there are calls that scare you to death, and there are calls that break your heart. There are calls in life that you're never the same after you receive them. Of all the different calls in life that we receive, though, the calling of God on our lives is by far the most important. And when we think about a calling from God, we can experience several different kinds of callings from God. Right? So there is the call of salvation. And that is available to all people. Right? 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that God wants all to come to repentance. So the call to salvation, some people say, "Well, he's called, she's called, I'm not called." No, everybody's called to salvation. It's just, will we answer that call? Will we believe in faith? So there's also a call to holiness, right? God said, "Be holy as I am holy." 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, "God has not called us to impurity, but to live in holiness." So every person, if you're a believer in Christ, you are called of God to pursue holiness, to live in holiness. Right? And then there are more specific callings like ministry callings, mission callings, just specific roles that God has designed just for you. So there's all kinds of ways that God calls on us in life. So as we look at the Abrahamic covenant, we're going to talk about Abraham's calling. And at this time, his name was Abram, so I'm probably going to call him Abram half the time and Abraham the other half of the time and slip up. But y'all know who I'm talking about. Abram's calling. As we talk about that, we're going to consider our calling as well. The call of God is the most important call that any of us will ever receive. So before we turn to Genesis chapter 12, let's turn our attention to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's so good to be in your house, Lord. We love you, Lord. We are thankful for the opportunity to be in this place with this church family. We pray that you would speak to us today from your holy word. We pray that you would give us ears to hear what you would say and hearts to obey what you communicate to us. Lord, we love you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that prayer, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to start with Genesis 12, verses 1 through 6. The Lord said to Abram, "Go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. And when they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the site of Shechem at the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. All right, so let's look at this covenant between God. Pretty significant for Abraham, and it turns out it's pretty significant for us as well. So Abram was a direct descendant of Shem. Shem was one of Noah's three sons. God had promised in Genesis chapter 3, if you remember a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the fall in the Garden of Eden, when God was judging the serpent and Adam and Eve, he's talking to the serpent, and he said, "He will strike your head and you will strike his heel." Anybody remember that from Genesis chapter 3? That is a reference to a coming deliverer. That is the first reference in Scripture to the coming Messiah. Jesus is that deliverer. Jesus, it's true that his heel was struck. He suffered on the cross and died. And for just a brief moment there, it looked like the enemy had won. But he rose from the dead. When he did that, he made eternal life possible for us. Right? He ascended to the right hand of the Father. Someday he's going to return, and he's going to reign, and he's going to rule, and he's going to defeat the enemy forever, and sin and death will be no more. That's the promised deliverer from Genesis chapter 3. So, Abram's descendants would one day be called the Israelites. So the nation of Israel begins here in Genesis 12 with Abraham. The focus through the first 11 chapters has been kind of on mankind in general. Now the focus narrows to one man that would lead to one nation, one group of people. That's Abraham. And verse 3 tells us that the blessings that come through Jesus, who would be a descendant of that one man, were going to be for all the nations, not just for Israel. All the nations shall be blessed through you, Abraham. Now, God didn't reveal how this was going to happen to Abram. He just assured him that it was going to happen. So then if you look in Matthew chapter 1, you get the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Guess who the first name in the genealogy of Jesus Christ is? Abraham. Abraham's name is first. So this promise to Abram includes you and me. All the nations, that's us. This blessing through Abraham was not just for some people on the other side of the world thousands of years ago. This is for us. All the nations includes us. We are blessed through Jesus Christ, who came through the lineage of Abraham. So God also told Abram that he would make his name great. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I believe that there's an important spiritual truth for us to see from Genesis 11 to Genesis 12. So last week we talked about the Tower of Babel. All the people were gathered together, even though God had called them to spread out and populate the earth. They all gathered together, and their goal was to make their own name great. And it failed, right? Because God lovingly intervened before they went even further into evil and wickedness and rebellion. God intervened and scattered them. So in Genesis 11, the people are trying to make their own name great, and it fails. In Genesis 12, Abram, who as far as we know, wasn't looking to make his own name great at all. He wasn't seeking fame. He wasn't seeking fortune. And God calls him out and says, "I'm going to make your name great." So what is that supposed to tell us? What does that mean to us? There's a huge difference between man's efforts to make his own name great and God's blessings that make a person's name great. Amen. Proverbs 16:18 tells us pride comes before a fall. Right, and Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 12, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." So if we're careful to lift up the name of Jesus, he is going to work in us and through us so we can honor and glorify him. And that is going to last a whole lot longer than anything that we could ever do on our own. People are never going to remember my name for anything that I do on my own. But my goal is to live my life so that people always remember Jesus' name, so that his name is made great. So he gets the fame and the glory. All right, so Genesis chapters. Well, I hadn't even started with the sermon yet. That was just the first part, okay? So buckle up. All right, so in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord speaks to Abram and calls him. God calls and Abram responds. So what about us? When God calls, how do we respond? When God calls, how are you and I going to respond? Let's look at how Abram responds, and then let's apply it to our own lives. Okay, so the first thing we see here is Abraham believes and responds in faith. He believes in faith. That's the first response to the calling of God. The Lord said, go, and Abram went. Pretty simple. He didn't say, where, God? He didn't say, why, God? The Lord said, go, Abram went. He believed in faith. Now, we're going to talk more about obedience. Obviously, he obeyed and did what God told him to. We're going to talk more about obedience in a few minutes. But before he obeyed, he believed. The call of salvation requires us to believe. John 3:16, whosoever what? Believeth in him. Right? Before we're going to obey him and live for him or tell others about him, we got to believe him. That's part of faith. So that's the call of salvation. The call to holiness, it requires us to believe and to keep on believing. Right? It's not a one-time act. It's a continuous, daily choice. We believe, and then we keep on believing. We continue to believe. Even a specific calling like missions or ministry requires us to keep on believing. Right? Why is that? Why do we have to keep on believing? If I walked down the aisle and made a decision at one point, I believed. Right? So why do I have to keep on believing? Well, because the devil doesn't quit fighting against us when we get saved. Does everybody realize that? The battle is not over. The devil knows he can't have your soul. He's going to try to ruin our testimony. He's going to try to ruin our effectiveness for Christ. So the devil's not going to give up. You know what else? When I get saved, my flesh doesn't quit wanting to sin. I still have fleshly desires that I've got to fight against and put that sin to death. So I've got to keep on believing. I may have believed yesterday. That's not going to do me a lot of good if I don't believe today. Every day when we wake up, we make a choice. Am I going to keep on believing what I say I believe? Some days we get up and we don't want to pursue holiness. I don't want to do that today. I don't want to be good. I want to do my own thing. I want to do what everybody else is doing. Why do I have to deny myself today? Sometimes we wake up and we feel like that. I'm a preacher. I feel like that some days. Maybe I'm the only one. Pretty quiet in here. Thanks, Brother Dean. Some days we don't want to put God first. Some days we don't want to submit to His authority. That's when we're faced with the choice to believe in God or believe in ourselves. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We've got to make that decision every day. I may have taken up the cross and followed him yesterday. I got to make that decision today, too. I got to make that decision tomorrow. It's a daily decision. Now, this doesn't mean that we believe and we never have doubts, right? Just a few verses later in chapter 12, after what we read, famine comes to the land of Canaan where God told Abram to go. So famine comes. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that Abram stopped and prayed and asked God what to do. And God told him to go to Egypt. The Bible just tells us that a famine came and Abram said, pack up the stuff, honey, we're going to Egypt. They got food, right? So why was that a problem? Well, God knew the famine was coming when he told Abram to go there. God was fully capable of providing for Abram and his family and his people in the middle of a famine. But Abram did what we all do from time to time. Right? He decided to fix the problem himself. Anybody ever decided to fix the problem themselves instead of waiting on God? Are y'all's hands not raised? Thinking I was the only one. Man, let's just stop. Y'all come pray for me. Anybody else struggling with any of this stuff? Okay. We skip the step of asking God for direction and we go right to work fixing it on our own, or we try to fix it on our own. And it doesn't turn out real well most of the time. But the beautiful thing is God doesn't give up on us when we do that. God is faithful to us even when we're not faithful to Him. Go read the book of Hosea. It's pretty explicit. About, and it's talking about the nation of Israel. I'm not claiming the promises of the nation of Israel, but I can see the same proclivity to sin that I see in the nation of Israel. I see it when I look in the mirror too. God is faithful to us even when we aren't faithful to Him. When God calls us, we respond by believing in faith. What do we believe? We believe God is who He says He is. He is our creator and He is our sustainer. Right? He didn't create us and then just step back and say, let's see what happens. He holds us together. He sustains us. What else do we believe? We believe that He will do what He says He's going to do. Right? We believe it when the Bible tells us that He will never leave us or forsake us. What else do we believe? We believe that we are who He says we are, right? If you're born again, you are a child of God. The Bible tells us that. When God calls, our first response is to believe in faith. How else do we respond to God's calling? Well, obedience follows after faith. We believe in faith, and then we obey His commands. We believe in faith, and then we obey His commands. Again, the Lord said, go, and Abram went. God said, leave the land that you know, leave your family, leave your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. Abram didn't even know where God was sending him, but he believed, and the next step was to obey. Obedience is the natural progression of faith. Or maybe I should say, it should be the natural progression of faith. But far too many claim to believe in spite of the fact that there's very little obedience in their lives. Now, I just used there, but the truth is that hits me right between the eyes. I'm talking to myself. Far too many times in my life, my actions don't line up with what I claim to believe. Right? And we just talked about it. A good example is trying to fix my own problems instead of taking them to the Lord. Listen, if I say I believe that with God all things are possible, but I don't go to God and I try to fix it myself, what do I really believe? My life tells you that I believe with Grant all things are possible. But on Sunday morning, I put on a tie and I say, with God all things are possible. My actions got to line up with what I say I believe, or I got to ask myself, do I really believe it? If I try to do everything on my own, am I obeying God or rebelling against God? Rebelling, absolutely. Well, just like believing, obeying is an everyday, continuous decision. Right? We may have obeyed yesterday, but woke up this morning, we got to face the decision to obey God or do our own thing. God leads us every day in every situation, and we either follow His lead or we don't. Sometimes he's trying to lead us, and we can't see us because we take our eyes off of Jesus. He's trying to talk to us, and we're thinking about the world. We're thinking about all kinds of things. And he's saying, no, you're going the wrong way. I'm trying to tell you. I told you in this word. And you haven't looked at it in 3 weeks. And you wonder why life feels crazy. You wonder why God seems distant. I'm talking to myself, church. So I want to give you an illustration of God leading in an everyday situation. So this is not a first-hand account. This is a buddy of mine told me a story after a mission trip that he went on to Haiti a couple of years ago. My former church in Gardendale does lots of mission trips. I went on a trip to Haiti with them. On another trip to Haiti, there were several guys that were riding in the back of the truck, and they were going from, like where they were staying at night, they were riding to the job site. It was two different places. So all these guys loaded up in the back of this truck, and they're all cutting up, laughing, and having a good time, right? It's just fellowship. It's camaraderie. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody but one person. There was a minister that went on the trip. He's a pastor at this church. And he was kind of sitting off to himself. And he was just looking at everything that they were driving by. And so my buddy kind of noticed it. He didn't call him out in front of everybody else. But when they got off the truck and got to the job site, he said, hey, Brother Mark, I noticed you wasn't cutting up with everybody and having a good time. Is everything okay? What were you doing? And so that pastor said, well, I was just praying for all the houses that we were driving by. And it really impacted my friend. And when he came back and told me this story, it made a big impact on me. Because my mindset would have been like my friend and all the other guys in that truck. The work that we came to do is at the job site. So I'm off till then. And yet there were all these people that they were driving by that don't know Jesus. That if death called on them that day, they might go to hell if they don't know Jesus. And so this guy, and he's far from perfect, he's not some kind of saint or anything, but it was such a powerful example that he didn't miss a little bitty opportunity that a lot of people, especially me, would have thought was insignificant. I would just rode in that truck, and then when we got off, I'd been like, okay, time to do the work. But he realized there was work to do on the way. He realized all those faces, he may not know who they are, but they're made in God's image. They matter. They're going to face eternity. And the thing is, he was faithful in a little bitty action to pray on the way to a job site. Now, that's not something that he's going to get to see amazing results from, right? The village didn't break out in revival as he drove by praying for them. So he doesn't get kind of the reward of seeing the fruit. But who knows? God answers people's prayer. Prayer is powerful. And who knows what one little man in the back of the truck praying for people he didn't even know, combined with all the other prayers of the believers in that area, who knows what God did through that? Because he was faithful to obey in a small thing. Being faithful in small things matters just as much as being faithful in the big things. Because God can work through the small things just like He works through the big things. Amen? How many opportunities do we miss on a daily basis because we think God only directs us in the big situations in life? God may be calling somebody in here to speak encouragement to somebody that's struggling right now. And you may think, well, what would my encouraging word do? Who knows? If God gets a hold of it, it could do all kinds of things. God may be calling you to do that. Students, God may be calling one of y'all to look at somebody at your school that's maybe struggling and feels alone, feels like they don't fit in. God may be calling you to go up to that person and be a friend. That's powerful. When you step out, one of the worst things that we could ever feel is to not feel included. It's a horrible feeling. And we think that God only calls us to share the gospel and to go on mission trips. God calls us to be a friend. God calls us to reach out to somebody. They may not look like us. They might not be into the same things we are. It doesn't mean we can't be a friend. God may be calling any one of us to share the gospel with a coworker, or a classmate, or a neighbor, or a relative, or anybody. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus so we don't miss out on His direction on a daily basis. All right, so how do we respond when God calls us? We believe in faith, we obey His commands, and we worship Him only. Worship Him only. Abram, if you read through 12, 13, 14, 15, you consistently find him taking the time and making the effort to worship God. Several times it says he stopped, he built an altar, he worshiped the Lord, he called on the name of the Lord. Right? It was important, so he made time for it. Let's look at an example of that. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. Do we have that? Thank you, guys. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." Now, at this time, Abram didn't have any kids. And God's saying, "To your offspring," he's 75, "to your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Verse 8. From there he moved on to the hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and I guess is how you say that, I'm not sure, on the east. He built an altar to the Lord there and he called on the name of the Lord. Two verses, two different times, Abram stopped. He took the time, made the effort to worship the Lord. Abram believed, obeyed, and worship. And this is crucial for us to understand. God is not just truth to be believed. God is not just an authority to be obeyed. God is holy and perfect and just and powerful and loving. He alone deserves to be worshipped. And when we think of worship, what's the first thing that comes to our mind? Typically we think of singing. Right? That's what, if I think of worship, I think of singing songs. Right? That's part of it, but that's far from all of it. Worship includes a lot more than just singing. All right? Worship begins with reverence and love for God in our hearts. It is an inner posture towards God of reverence and awe and love. That's where worship starts. What place does God hold in our lives? Is He one of many things that we're into? Or is He far and above everything else that exists? Is worship something that we limit to Sunday mornings? Or is it something that we do each and every day? Another question for us to think about. Everyone in this room was here for worship this morning. But did everyone in this room worship? I can't answer that. We can only answer for ourselves, right? Not everything that's called worship actually is worship. We can sing all the words of a song without meaning what the lyrics express, can't we? Sometimes when we're singing, we look like we're getting our teeth pulled. Or we're getting our taxes done or something. We're singing to the God of the universe. You can't tell by looking at us that we're singing to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now you might be thinking, well, they didn't sing the songs that I like to sing. Well, and I'm going to say this to myself, and I'm going to say this in love. Worship is not about you, and it's not about me. It's about God. We're not singing to ourselves. We're not singing about ourselves. We're singing to God Almighty. So whether we sing an old hymn or a new praise song, it shouldn't matter in the slightest because this ain't a concert. This is a worship service. Listen, when we get to heaven, there's not going to be an angel there waiting to find out what our musical preference is so he can take us to that section of heaven. We're all going to worship the Lord together. I don't know if we're going to sing hymns or contemporary Christian or I don't know what we're going to sing. I know we're going to sing hallelujah. I know we're not going to care in the slightest what we're singing. We're going to be so transfixed on God. Please don't let personal preference ever keep you from worshiping the Lord. Grant, please don't ever let personal preference keep you from worshiping the Lord. Because He is worthy of our praise. I want to read one last passage. This is from Luke 19, starting in verse 35. Almost jumped on my water. This is the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem shortly before His crucifixion. Then they brought the donkey to Jesus, and after throwing their clothes on the donkey, they helped Jesus get on it. As He was going along, they were spreading their clothes on the road. Now He came near the path down the Mount of Olives, and the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. And some of the Pharisees from the crowd told Him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And He answered, "I tell you, if they were to keep silent, the stone Did you catch that at the very end? The stones would cry out. If all the people were silent, the rocks were going to cry out. Whether you and I worship God or not, He's going to be worshipped. Why would you ever want to miss out on that? I ain't going to let no rock worship in my place. I don't know about y'all. God is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be worshipped. He is worthy yesterday, today, and forever. So when we have the opportunity to worship, whether we're at home by ourselves, or we're riding down the road, whenever we have the opportunity to worship, whether we're gathered together as a church family, let's worship Him with all that we have. Amen? Many people think being called... I'm landing the plane. I'm going to finish it up, okay? Many people think being called is primarily a ministerial thing. But I want us to know that every single one of us is called by God. When God calls, our response should be to believe in faith, obey His commands, and worship Him alone. And worship Him continually. Don't take the calling of God for granted. It is the most important call you and I will ever receive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, You are so good. I thank You for the truth of Your Word. I thank You for Your calling upon each and every one of our lives, God. I pray, Father, that although our flesh wants to turn away from You and although the enemy wants to distract us and point us to everything else, Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would keep us locked in on Jesus. I pray that our focus and all of our attention would be on You and that whether it's a big thing or a small thing, that we would be faithful to You, that we would obey Your commands, that we would follow where You lead us. God, You are great. You deserve so much more praise and worship than we could ever give You. And God, You can do so much more than any of us could ever hope to do on our own. God, I pray that You would bless this time of response, that You would move in the hearts and lives of Your people, and that You would be honored and glorified. We love You, Jesus. We pray this in Your name. Amen. So if you would, stand to your feet. We're going to sing.